I'd like now to welcome back to the program Charlie O'Leary. He's Executive Director of the Santa Fe Conservation Trust, and Jan Willem Janssens, who's an ecological planner. He's the head of Ecotone. Welcome, gentlemen, to the Radio Cafe.
Hi, thank you, Charlie. Thank you.
So the theme for today is trails, and there are a lot of trails that probably many of our listeners go walking or hiking or biking on, and multiple use is one of the very important questions that people have about trails. There is a trails conference coming up, and there's also a mountain bike conference coming up. And are mountain biking and horseback riding and hiking and walking and dog walking, are they all compatible on the same trails, or do we need different trails?
I would say that they're compatible on all trails. It's an issue that we've been talking about here in Santa Fe for quite a few years now, but I guess a little bit more intensely over the last year as we've been working on the La Tierra open space area up in the northwest quadrant, and as we're having the International Mountain Bike Association, they're having their World Summit here in October. They're, of course, mountain bikers, and so we've been talking a lot about different trail use. But I think, generally speaking, we're looking to have multiple trail users on the same trail.
Well, I think not everybody will agree with you, Charlie. So, and
like you, perhaps?
Yeah, that's right, Mary Charlotte. I would say I love mountain biking if I can and have the moment to do it. And then when I'm thundering down a trail, it is hard to just brake hard enough for that pedestrian. But when I'm this walker and I hear this mountain bike click-clacking down a hill, I would wish that he wasn't there or she. So I think I agree with you, Charlie, that we would maybe want to accommodate everybody. But honestly, also I'm also coming from the point of view of maintaining and designing trails, that actually the width and erosion control issues and the line of sight on a bike trail, or especially also on a horseback trail, is quite different in some corners here of what a pedestrian trail should be.
Let me add a little asterisk to my answer there, and I agree as well. Although I think that to begin with, there needs to be more communication between users and you said accommodation. I definitely think that during busier times of the week, when there's multiple types of users out on the trail, we have to use the trails differently and be respectful that there's other users out there. And I think mountain biking is a great example. But I don't think we're quite at the point where we can have separate trails for different users. I mean, it would be nice, and I know, again, mountain biking is a good example where there's different features that are enjoyed. Banked curves and turns is one example enjoyed by mountain bikers that, you know, don't necessarily work for other users. It'd be nice to be able to have more of those features on trails that are specific for mountain bikes. So I actually think it's a little bit of both, that we need to respect the trails that we currently have. We need to get volunteers out to help work on those trails. I think it's actually a great way to get different users to interact together and get to know one another. But I agree with your answer as well. There are some of the uses are become so specific that we do have to look at how the trails are designed, how they're maintained, what are the different uses that they do play a role.
Yeah.
The International Mountain Biking Association is having its summit, pun intended, I'm sure, here in Santa Fe, October 10th through 13th. And one of the things that they've been quite active in is promoting trail etiquette for mountain bikers, both so that there are fewer conflicts and so that they don't get kicked off of the trails altogether, which has been a real danger. I mean, there have been, over the last 20 years or more that since mountain biking has become very popular, a lot of trail association people who are in charge of the trails have actually said this is not for mountain bikers at all, and they've been trying to fight that by having really proper etiquette. What is that etiquette? Is there a right of way? Are there any rules that people abide by?
Yes, there are. There are rules, and mountain bikers are supposed to yield to equestrians. They're supposed to yield to hikers, And
so they're supposed to yield to everyone.
Yeah, they actually
wildlife,
are supposed to.
Wildlife, mm-hmm. everything else.
Yep, come yeah. to a stop and pull over on the trail. Now, realistically, I think what happens quite regularly is hikers, it's easy for them to pull over and let the mountain bikers ride by. I think one interesting thing about mountain bikers, in my experience has been in talking with other trail users, and I'm a big mountain biker myself, is that the bikes are so quiet that it's very easy to sort of sneak up on a hiker, or if somebody's wearing an iPod while they're out on the trail, they can't hear a mountain bike approach, and it startles them, and people get really startled, they get scared. All of a sudden there's maybe three or four people on their back right behind them, and it can be startling. So one of the things that we've tried to do through a group called the Trails Alliance of Santa Fe is actually hand out bells to mountain bikers and encourage them to use their bells and let people know well in advance that they're coming.
Right.
And so you either do that by ringing the bell or you call out good morning or hello. And I think that resolves, in my experience, that resolves the majority of the problems. As long as other trail users know that mountain bikers are coming, that can help a lot.
When you talked about people listening to music on the trails, that seems like a really bad idea.
It's kind of funny because when I walk, I often enjoy just the silence.
Exactly.
But I can understand.
Or
I
the
love
non-silence.
Music
I mean, yeah. the sound of the leaves and the squirrels.
Absolutely. The natural sounds, because that's part of the whole landscape experience, together with the view and the colors and the light. But yeah, I mean, I can see the combination of listening to some favorite music and that landscape, but it's not always the wisest thing in terms of being a social user of the trail and being aware of other people that use the trail, absolutely.
Now, what is the impact of mountain biking on trails? Does it cause problems with the trails, erosion, things like that?
The impact of mountain biking on trails, I think, is pretty light. But what you have to think about is what's the condition of the trail when people are riding it. So typically you won't have people out riding in the springtime when the trails are muddy and most vulnerable to being damaged. You can also get some erosion and some problems with people skidding around turns. So that can be a problem. But typically, if you look at, the rubber surface of a tire on a hard surface, it's not doing a lot of damage.
Yeah, I think from my experience, the turns and curves are the most somewhat problematic because of the width of the trail and the turn of a turn, the angle, bikers can only take a very specific part of that trail, and there you get a lot of concentration of tire track, or also because they have to brake there, and so that leads to a berm on the outsloped part of the trail. So you get a cupped trail that then collects water and erodes more rapidly in those turns. And so they require then more maintenance over time.
You, Jan Willem, are very much involved with and have a very deep understanding of erosion and landscapes and human impact on landscapes. And you've actually been involved with putting out a brochure a guide called Caring for Good Trails, which is for volunteers who are doing trail maintenance here in the Southwest, not just even in New Mexico. And this is an interesting book because it basically shows you through photographs and text what the problems are and how to solve them. Tell us about it.
Yeah. When I worked with Earthworks Institute in the last 10 years, I saw a need maybe already about 10 years ago for more community education and landowner and resident education about the use and stewardship of the outdoors. And so in collaboration with different partners, Earthworks developed educational booklets. We have developed booklets on erosion control, on stream restoration, on septic waste management. And then several years ago, maybe 4 or 5 years ago, based on experiences of trail building in the 1990s that I had here, where I saw a lot of different trails and trail problems, I remember that it might be good to have actually a specific trail booklet for the type of trails that we have here, like the Dale Ball trails, or the trails in La Tierra, or the trails in the Galisteo Basin Preserve, or on Glorieta Mesa, and that there actually isn't a booklet like that. That because the booklets that are out there are either for mountain bikes that are actually slightly different, in my view, or for high mountain trails, a Forest Service book that is out that is very good. But just this niche of the narrow 12 to 18 foot trails in semi-rocky or sometimes sandy terrain between pinyons and junipers going up and down, there's nothing for that. And especially not for, and most booklets focus on design. But for to have a pocket guide for people who go out and participate in workshops or that you can use in workshops as a training guide, that was not there.
Yeah.
So working with the Santa Fe Conservation Trust and people at Santa Fe County, we came up with a concept. And with some grant monies, I wrote the first draft that was tested at the Santa Fe Conservation Trust several years ago and through the Trails Alliance. And then we found some funding from with support from REI to complete the trails booklet about a year ago. And with Charlie's help, we eventually got it printed and out in the world in 2012.
You were looking always for people to be stewards of the land and the trails. How do people actually get involved in that?
Well, there are various ways. I'm involved, for instance, in a volunteer group with the El Dorado Community Improvement Association. They have a conservation committee, and they mobilize residents, trail users, equestrians, bikers, but also Boy Scouts. And I do a series of workshops with them and actually identify maybe trails that are, or areas for trails that are more appropriate maybe for equestrians in that area. And then we develop a trail based on this booklet, but then a little adapted that is better for equestrians.
What about the Girl Scouts?
Well, they should maybe participate too in another moment.
So Girl Scouts, take note. Okay,
yes, wonderful. Good idea. And then Charlie and I are involved in several other initiatives, and maybe, Charlie, you can talk about
those. Yeah, one of the others is the Trails Alliance of Santa Fe. It's an all-volunteer group that's been around for a couple of years now, and that actually started through an alliance between Santa Fe Conservation Trust, the Santa Fe County, and the City of Santa Fe, and volunteers coming together to help work on Dale Ball Trail, La Tierra Trails, mostly trails in Santa Fe. They've expanded out into the National Forest. They've been working with another new group called the Santa Fe Fat Tire Society, which has been very active in helping to maintain and improve trails all around Santa Fe and beyond. And they've actually been quite remarkable in terms of the amount of enthusiasm they've brought to the whole stewardship of trails around Santa Fe. So both of those groups, Trails Alliance of Santa Fe, Santa Fe Fat Tire Society, both of those groups very active, have great websites and calendars up of events where people can get involved. Then also Commonweal Conservancy that you might know about out in the Galisteo Basin, they actually are having an event this weekend for National Public Lands Day. They're going to be working on a couple miles of new trail out there that's open to the public. So there's quite a number of groups, as well as the Forest Service and others. So there's a lot of interest.
I think all of this highlights the importance of just getting outdoors. So there's a lot of trails in the Santa Fe area. There's trails within city limits. There's trails up mountains. There's one of the things I love is there's trails for that are great when it's really hot outside, and there's other places to go when it's quite cold outside. Mm-hmm.
Oh, absolutely. And I came here nearly 20 years ago, and what struck me first was the many trails, and also the historical trails that are here, old cow trails that go up in the mountains, like actually, for instance, the Atalaya Trail, but also trails along streams like in Deer Creek. And, of course, the old Santa Fe Trail, the Camino Real Trail. And so I really got a sense of Santa Fe as a trail hub. And I've only since then seen it grow and grow. And through my work, I felt that trails were such a wonderful opportunity for people to connect to the outdoors, to learn how to take care of it and why it's important to take care of it, to take care of the forest landscape, the wildlife, but also the hydrology of the space, because a lot of trails are directly related to issues of erosion or erosion control.
There's also an issue of just simply getting outside is good for you.
Mm-hmm.
And were you saying, Charlie, you were telling me another time that there are people who are actually doctors writing prescriptions saying walk on the trails?
That's right. There's a national program called the Prescription Trails Program. I think that's the official name. But it involves doctors talking with their patients and prescribing local routes for people to walk and to have as part of their daily routine and part of their health plan. And, I think in Santa Fe it's amazing all the different trails that we have, all the different opportunities we have for walking and getting out and seeing part of the history, and the health benefits are amazing. I mean, if we think about the obesity rate in this country, which is over 50% in most states and higher, I think, in New Mexico, we need to get out and be under our own power more and enjoy the benefits of that. And I think that, certainly at the Trust, one of our most exciting programs that's exciting for me is our Trails program, because it does allow us to really interact with folks and get out and what I like to call being a part of a new land ethic. And as Jan Willem is describing, getting people outside and having them connect with nature in whatever way that means for them, but a real opportunity to make that connection with the natural world that requires we being outside and be a part
of it. That's right. We had not too long ago an author named David Ryan who was on the program, and he wrote a lovely book called The Gentle Art of Wandering, and it was just about how to be aware when you're outdoors, whether it's in a city or whether it's on a trail or whatever, and you see so much more when you cultivate that kind of awareness, and our trails are such a great opportunity for that.
Yeah, and I think besides physical health, trails are a wonderful opportunity to maintain or renew your mental health. The fast-paced life that we have these days is very nicely compensated, I think, by going out and finding yourself back in that solitude or maybe in a small social group outdoors.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we have talked with you and with lots of people on this show over the years about wildlife conservation and wildlife connectivity, and it turns out that so many animals migrate that it's really important to have not only areas for wildlife, but areas that connect to each other so that they can migrate and not just hit pavement and places where they're going to die along the way. And I wondered if trails play a role in wildlife connectivity.
They play some role, and I can think in two different directions here. Trails are often in the transition zone or the edges of the landscape, because an interesting trail is not in a homogeneous landscape. It's often where you are on an edge. That's also where people feel most comfortable, where they feel safe, and where you have interesting views and experiences on a trail. And you'll just see it, that between wet and dry, between flat and steep, that's where you find the trails. That's also where people want to build their homes. That's in the larger landscape where cities or villages are built, because they have multiple opportunities in the ecology of the terrain to then find different resources initially when a village or town is built. And that's also where wildlife hangs out, because they have that, they need that variety, and they need the cover in the landscape on a small scale. But then if you start looking at the spine of the continent that was recently discussed here on your program with Mary Ellen Halibal.
Yeah, author of that wonderful book.
Yes, and so there is a continental divide trail, and there are many other long-distance trails where we are seeking collaboration between those groups of trails people to also think about the connectivity or to work together about large landscape connectivity for multiple users, not only for wildlife. Because if people become aware that just for recreation purposes, for connecting the areas of interest and the valuable landscapes for all kind of ecosystem services, as you may call them, want to call them, across larger landscapes, then actually implicitly will take care of wildlife as well. And when it's unpleasant and you feel constrained because of highways or whatever for outdoor recreation, then it's definitely the case for wildlife as well. So if we can find common ground by connecting open spaces for multiple functions, then gradually for wildlife we may reach similar goals.
The Mountain Bike Conference is coming up October 10th through 13th, and the website for the International Mountain Bicycling Association is imba.com. The Trail Conference, organized by the Santa Fe Conservation Trust, is coming up October 10th, sfct.org. Now, what are you going to do with this? It's at the Community Convention Center on the day of October 10th. What are you going to be doing?
That's right. It's an all-day event. We're starting at 8:30 and going to go up to about 4 o'clock. We're going to be talking about all things trails. We're going to talk about the economic benefits of trails. We're going to talk about the health benefits of trails. We're going to be sharing success stories. We're going to take a large part of the morning and talk about those communities that have made a real commitment to grow their trails program and talk about what were the benefits of that. We're going to have folks up from Gallup, and they have a high desert trail system down there that's been just a huge success for them, a pretty complicated project, but has really been a great way to turn their economy around and add to it. So we're going to hear from them. And we're going to talk about some legal issues. We're going to talk about access and easements for folks if they're interested in donating land for trails to help expand trail systems. What does it mean for them? What does it mean if there's a trail that people have been using for 10 or 20 years and all of a sudden it's closed off? What's happened there? We actually have an example up in Glorieta of that exact situation. So we're going to talk about some real-world examples as well. And just really share stories. We're going to provide a forum for folks to come out and talk about how to grow trail programs in their communities.
And in addition to all of that, the Trails Alliance of Santa Fe is also on the web at trailsallianceofsantafe.org. Charlie O'Leary is Executive Director of the Santa Fe Conservation Trust. Jan Willem Janssens is an ecological planner and head of Ecotone. And anything else you guys want to let us know before we go?
Well, I'd like to mention that people can order the booklet Caring for Good Trails at the Santa Fe Conservation Trust website.
Excellent.
It's only $5, and it's a very handy 40-page small pocket guide.
Okay.
So, to you, Charlie.
And we'll have those available on October 10th as well at the Trails Conference. I just want to encourage as many people to come out as you can. We're asking that folks register in advance, so log on to our website. That's sfct.org. We're asking for a $5 donation at the door for coffee and treats, but
nice.
Come
so
by
a
and
virtually
and share
free
the day.
Conference.
It's virtually free, yes.
And this book, Caring for Good Trails, is it something that just your average person who happens to go out hiking could make use of?
I think so. So because it would be great if people gradually have a sense of how with very simple, repeated techniques, they can actually make the trail drain. And I see just actually quite a few people understand that when they're walking through a soppy trail, that by poking a hole in the berm, my son would love to do that, for instance, that actually they can make...
Your nine-year-old?
That's right. They can make the trail drain, and then with that, you maintain the lifespan of that trail actually over time.
Well, gentlemen, thank you so much for being here. Very important and valuable information. Thanks for being on the Radio Cafe.
Thank you,
Mayor Charlotte.